Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we have a different host and a different focus as we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe. I'm your host this week, Debbie Cowden. Today's topic is openness to life. I'm joined by three remarkable women who are going to discuss with me what it means to be open to life and share the fruits of that openness to God's love. The first is Leah Darrow, who's known across the globe for her speaking, writing, and coaching. A former fashion model, she's the author of the book, The Other Side of Beauty, and recently started the hashtag Babies and Dreams movement on social media to remind the world that children are not an obstacle to pursuing dreams. We can have both. Leah is the mother of six children on earth and one in heaven. She's joining us from the Ozarks near Springfield, Missouri. Lisa Canning is a speaker, mindset coach, and author of The Possibility Mom, How to Be a Great Mom and Pursue Your Dreams at the Same Time. She's on a mission to help moms discover their God-given potential and put it to work to change the world. She's the mother of nine children on earth and one in heaven, and she joins us from Naples, Florida. And finally, Kristalina Evert, host of Women Made New on EWTN Radio and co-founder of The Chastity Project. She's the author of several best-selling books, as well as a brand new book from EWTN Publishing, Women Made New, Reflections on Adversity, Transformation, and Healing. She is a mom of eight children on earth and three in heaven, and she joins us from Phoenix, Arizona. Kristalina, I'd like to start with you. You're raising eight children. Lisa's raising nine. And Leah is raising six, but I want to clarify that we are not suggesting that in order to be considered quote unquote open to life or holy, you must give birth to a certain number of children. But for those who might not be familiar though with the term open to life, what does it really mean and what does it look like in practice?
Being open to life and being life-giving as a mother as well is really kind of just letting God in to making kind of those decisions in your life. But life-giving isn't just giving birth. You also want to be life-giving as a mother and as a woman in our society. And I have three babies in heaven. And so I have 11 children total. And I think a lot of women even struggle with, especially if they've had miscarriages, it can be scary and it can be hard. And sometimes it's not always easy to be open to life. And there were times when I was pregnant and I was breastfeeding and I had the little ones running it down. There were times where I had four in diapers and I was just going crazy. And then I flipped that pregnancy test over and I was mad, you know, and that's okay. You go through a range of emotions, but at the same time, God is with you. He created that life. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need, and he knows what you can and cannot handle. And sometimes it wasn't always the easiest thing. It wasn't always what I wanted in that moment. But I thank God that I was open to his will in my life throughout my marriage so far. And there were two miscarriages. The recent one just happened not too long ago, but the other two happened a while ago. And I look back and I understand where my body was at, where we're at in our lives, why it had to happen. But even when you do flip that pregnancy test over or you are pregnant and it may not be exactly what you want, it doesn't always end up the way you think it's going to as well. So we just give praise to God in all circumstances. And we're also life-giving and raising our children as well, spiritually life-giving to them. But we're not meant to just be baby machines and hit a certain quota. No, that is not what God calls us to. And some women can have babies, some can't, some can only have a certain amount, but we just need to accept whatever it is God's asking us in that moment, in our motherhood, in our fertility, because at the end of the day, he knows what is best for us and what our family needs and society.
Amen. He wrote the book, We Only See the Page That We're On. And Lisa, you're the possibility mom. Right. And you are proof to women all over the world that moms can embrace motherhood, bearing children, pursuing dreams, and do it joyfully. And we're not gonna lie, raising children is difficult in today's world. And when it comes to being open to life and open to the possibility of more children, there are a lot of reasons that a parent might say, there's no way I could do it with that many. What would you tell them?
You know, the possibility mom came because I was unrelenting in my pursuit of how can I make this possible? And so I like to, you know, when someone asks that question, I really like to just say, okay, can we trust the Lord in his plan? And the answer to that is always yes. I think it's harder to do it in some seasons than others. I'm in a very difficult season right now. We just lost a baby after 9 very healthy pregnancies. And so sometimes it's hard. But then I really like to ask, okay, what can I do to increase possibility in my life? If I'm finding it difficult in this season, what kind of help can I gain access to? What kind of coaching? What kind of support can I gain access to? So to just constantly be asking, what is possible in this season? And then trusting the Lord with all of it, of course.
Amen. And that's an important message that women need to hear, because Leah, over the past couple years, you have been a leader in this Babies and Dreams movement on social media. And it was a response to several heartbreaking news stories of women who were celebrating their abortions and justifying them in the name of their worldly success. And one of those women was a high school valedictorian. And in her commencement speech, she spoke of fears that if her contraception failed, her future would be ruined. What can we as Catholics do to combat this false idea that babies and dreams are incompatible?
Yeah, that's the culture we live in right now. I think just the reality that that's where we are. So what can we do to combat that? Well, I mean, number one, show up with joy with your family. I mean, that's something that we really should be practicing a little bit more inside our home and then outside our home as well. And not just to pretend that everything's okay, but to be honest about it, but also to show up with joy within your family, within the babies that you have, no matter the number whatsoever, or just the fact that you're happy to have life. I mean, the idea that babies and dreams are incompatible of what our culture says is absolutely ridiculous. It's a huge limitation on women in general. It's like telling women, well, you can only do so much, right? But that's a lie. That's an absolute lie. I mean, it's a limiting mindset to believe that if you have a baby, you can't do anything else. And I'm not saying that there's a proper priority to your family life and your vocation. 100% there is. But babies and dreams always go together. And in fact, the most successful women I know, and I mean success, not in the world's definition, but in God's definition. I mean, the ones who show up with just a magnetic joy and patience and love in their vocation, and they serve so well in all the different areas of their life, they're usually all moms of many kids. It just so happens that that's the case. I mean, so we have this culture of death that we live in. We have it. That's a reality that we have to recognize. So we can show up. How are we showing up in our family? Like, how do you show up to family gatherings? How do you talk about your kids? How do you talk about your family life? Like, oh, I know it's the worst. Everything's a mess. Like we all have a mess. Do we need to put it out there all the time to everybody? Or do we need to show them the beauty of family life? I know that, you know, one of the things that we, you know, when I'm sure like me, Lisa and Kristalina have all gotten this, you go into Costco, you go into Sam's like with all your kids. We are the show. We are the entertainment now. They don't need those little food samples. They've got the big families to come and to look at, because they're like, are they all yours? How could this be? And I make it a point to talk to my kids about these moments of like, we're going to go inside this big store. We're going to all go together. We are an amazing family, and God has blessed us with all of each one of you. So we're going to show up and we're going to have smiles on our faces. And we're going to look at people in the eye, and we're going to use our manners. And I have little kids, so I'm going through those stages. But you can show up to culture and combat this idea that babies and dreams are compatible by very simple things like that, by showing up with joy and smiles in your face, because this is a battle that we're going to have to fight and continue to fight every day.
Amen. And God willing, we're going to win it. I really feel like we will. Kristalina, being open to life doesn't necessarily mean that we're letting go of all of the control of our lives. And that should be received as good news to those of us, I'm talking about me, those of us who tend to cling to that perception of control. Really, that openness or docility to God's will should be an integral part of every aspect of our lives. And fertility is just one part of that. But what is it about our fertility in particular that makes people want to control it so badly? What's stopping people from wanting God to be part of this aspect of their lives?
Because The thing is, a baby changes everything. It's true. It's a huge responsibility. It's not about you anymore. It really is all about that little baby. So maybe if you are going to school or you're in the middle of a big project, whatever else, even how your body handles that pregnancy, it doesn't always go to plan. And when you have a new life that you have to accept into the world, I'm sorry, but it's not always an easy thing to do because your life kind of gets turned upside down. And I remember the first pregnancy I had, I was really sick and everything changed and I didn't expect it so soon. And, you know, but at the same time, you're docile to what God is asking and what you want. And I look back at all of my children, even those pregnancy tests, and I'll be real honest that I flipped over and I just cried, like, how am I going to do this? I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I was like overwhelmed. I look back and I can't imagine my life without my children, without every single one of them, even my little warriors in heaven fighting for me and going to bat for me. And I have that little family member up there just praying specifically for us down here. It's a beautiful grace that God gives us, but it's not always easy. But at the same time, just know that when God creates a life within you, that he's leaving his fingerprint within you as well. He creates life inside of you. And it is really an amazing thing that only we as women get to experience. And it'll always give you everything you need for that child when that child comes. Because no matter how overwhelmed, no matter how sick, whatever's going on, I held my baby. I had everything I needed. I got mom strong. And you just have it within you because God gives that in his fingerprint. He leaves behind it, creating that child with you. So it doesn't just give you a baby and then walk away. He's there in every moment, every second of every day with you.
And Crystalina, how do you convey that to your children? How do you have these conversations with them about being open to life? I'd love to be a fly on the wall in your home, by the way. I would love to be a fly on the wall just to see how
circus,
you do what you do.
The Momstrong circuit is nuts here. Yes, Momstrong is huge. That is a huge thing that I think all women have within them, no matter how down, no matter how beat up they feel, you've got that Momstrong. And that's something I have to tell myself from time to time. But to teach your children at the youngest of age, just listen to that voice of God, because they can't be open to life if they're not even open to listening to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Because one day my children are going to walk out that door and I won't be there to ask them questions, to help, to lead, to guide them. And if they can just listen to that voice that's within them, it's always that leading and guiding that God will always be there and that under his protection. So to even be open to life, you've got to be opening to listening and teaching your children the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And that can start at age 2. And my little one, I would just tell him, do you hear God's voice, or you should have done that? They have what they need within them. God put it there. You just kind of have to nurture that and they'll get it as they get older. And I know my teenage kids, they completely get it just as they grow up.
It's incredible. I learned so much from listening to you women. I, as a young mother, I have 3 right now, and I'm still learning what to do, especially as our family grows. I'm watching you mothers with larger families and seeing not just the way that you do the things that you do, but why. The reasons behind it are so important. And so, Lisa, when I see your posts pop up on social media, from doing your morning routines to spending time with your kids, you're having date nights with your husband, and you're making those cute little cheese boards that you do for your kids, I love them. And I am so inspired. And what's so beautiful about how you present motherhood is that you show the fruits of having the routines, spending the quality time with your loved ones, prioritizing your health and prayer. And you can see the joy. So please tell us, how are you modeling openness to life to your children? And how are you living that life of generosity in everyday life?
Well, I just want to first say that I never thought I would have this many children. And when I look around sometimes, I'm like, wait a minute, is this happening? This is real. And so for anyone listening who might just be like, there's just no way I can do that, you really just never know what can happen when you trust the Lord with all the plans. And so how do I model this joy? To be honest, it's a choice. For the first few years of having many, many children, I've had 3 in diapers many, many times. We just got out of 3 being in diapers. And there were many times in my early motherhood where I honestly felt like, we are not going to make it. Like, I'm not going to make it. And it was very difficult. But I grew in my belief in my own ability, and I grew in my belief that the Lord will provide whatever it is that I need, whether it be financial, whether it be energy, whether it be physical strength, whether it be time. The energy piece as I get older is the one that I'm always like, Lord, are you sure about this situation? But every pregnancy, every year, every time, you know, my family grows and it goes through a different season, which is all the time, my increase in my belief that the Lord will provide everything has grown.
Amen. I believe it was St. Isidore who said that God will not ever be outdone in generosity. And ladies, when we desire to be open to life and open to God's plan for us, that also means that we're open to loss and to suffering. And each of you have experienced the loss of a child through miscarriage in the past year. Leah, what have you learned from the past year after losing Amelia?
Oh, boy. We lost Amelia. She's our seventh baby, our third girl, in February of this year. And it's my first miscarriage. And what did I learn? Well, I'm still learning. But what I have learned is that God is still there. You can feel so alone when you lose a baby that I think that's the biggest lesson, is that God is still there. He's there. He's there when it hurts the most. He's there when there's so much joy you can barely stand it. You know, God was there at the crucifixion. God was even there in the empty tomb. And he was there at the resurrection. God is always there. He's always present, and he never withdraws from us. And I think that, you know, losing Amelia taught me a very significant lesson in suffering, one that I had not really learned at this depth before. It's a lesson like love that you can't learn from a theology course or dogma. You can't just read about it. It's a fire you have to walk through. And, you know, it's to talk about something or to think that you know about something without, in particular in these situations, it's without going through it, it's just like a clinging symbol. You know, but losing Amelia, losing a baby, and miscarriage in general is, it's so deep and intimate, because you grow this life and it's within you, and then, you know, you lose that life within you, and then you have to let go of that life. And that's a level and a lesson in suffering I'm now grateful for, but it's a hard one, and it's real. And it's continuing to be played out. You know, these aren't things, and they're not easy things that we just go through and then we move on. We go through them, and then we learn to process it each day a little bit deeper. And that's where I'm at in that lesson of suffering and of love, that really ultimately God is still there, and he is here, and he's here with me, and he continues to be.
Amen. And that God is still here. When you had said that the first time to me not too long ago, it's been seared in my brain and on my heart that even in these hardest moments, God is still here. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. And Lisa, you lost your baby very recently, and I'm so sorry. And your battle hymn throughout this loss has been, "O God beyond all praising." And the second half of that verse sums it up so beautifully, that call to love. "And whether our tomorrows be filled with good or ill, we'll triumph through our sorrows and rise to bless you still, to marvel at your beauty and glory in your ways and make a joyful duty our sacrifice of praise. I have goosebumps all over my body right now. What have you been learning about God's ways?
Whew. Sometimes praise is a sacrifice because it's very recent for me. So I'm still in this place of trying to not even make sense of it. I think I've accepted it, but it's difficult. It's just difficult. That's what it is. But where I've really landed is that the Lord can take it. I have yelled, I have screamed, I have done all the things, and the intimacy that I feel is profound. And I don't know the theology on this. Don't come to me for these theological, you know, where in the catechism does it say that the Lord can take it? But I feel it. I feel that he can, like, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to abandon me. He's not turning his back on me. Like, he hears my pain and he's with me in my pain. And that has just provided a very different lens, I guess, on my relationship with him. It's also provided a very different lens on my relationship with Earth. I know that sounds a little weird, but just that this is truly temporary. And, you know, we had a beautiful funeral for my baby, and our priest talked about how we're all like arrows on a trajectory for heaven. And my baby's was very, very fast. Mine might be a little bit longer, but my baby's was very fast.
And we'll see them again one day. I think it was St. Zélie Martin who said, "We shall see our little ones again in heaven." And Crystalina, you lost a baby to miscarriage at a really busy, challenging time in your life. Tell us how God has been showing you his plan for you and his plan for your three children who are in heaven too.
You know, that was a time I really had to lean on my relationship with Jesus more than normal, because Jason was actually in Israel when it all happened and my book was getting launched. And I felt so alone and almost angry, like, why would he even allow me to go through this by myself, you know, and having almost like this woe is me moment. But it was really hard and difficult. But I will say, Jesus is always pursuing us in everything. He's always coming after us and inviting us to go deeper, even in the suffering. And when we are going through suffering in a time of our crosses getting heavier, we have to really make that decision. Are you going to go into despair, or are you going to embrace your relationship with Jesus and ask him to help you in this suffering? Because if anyone knows how to suffer, it's Jesus. And he'll give you the grace to kind of go through it step by step. And even though it was an early miscarriage, that's the first time I experienced a miscarriage so early. Women out there listening, that still is a pregnancy. That still is your child. That still is a life that was infused in you, and that was a loss. And so don't underestimate how you're feeling or the mourning process, even if it was an early pregnancy. That is still your baby, and it is okay to mourn. It's okay to go through that sorrowful process that you need to go through, and don't ever let anyone tell you different. And then also, ladies, know obviously you're not alone. A lot of women are suffering with miscarriages right now, a lot of women, and to know that you're not alone, and that we're praying for each other. And I pray for women that go through miscarriages all the time, because I've been through three, and they're traumatic. And don't underestimate what you also go through, but just give it all back to Jesus. And one grace he gave me out of all of this is that I have a little warrior up in heaven fighting for me, going to bat for me, like I said earlier. And there is always a reason for everything Jesus does. And the battles that just my family alone right now are facing, and everything that we do and all of our ministry, I know I've got three little warriors up there fighting and praying for their mommy down here. And they want us to succeed. They want us to get to heaven. And the millisecond I die, I know my children are going to be there waiting for me. But just to know you have that special grace, and to pray to your children and asking for their intercession, it's very important.
Thank you for that, Crystalina. And one more question. In the last couple minutes of the show, what would you say to a married couple who is discerning whether or not to have more children, or they're scared, they're questioning that openness to life element, what is one message of hope that you would give them?
Give it to God. Trust God. Trust God with everything in your lives. He knows what's best for you. He's going to give you what is best. And in the time, if it's difficult and hard, absolutely. But there's something He wants to do. And at the end of your life, I know you won't regret it. I know in those times when you have your children coming to you at Christmas time, and as hard as it may be right now, you will not regret it. But withholding from God, that's something that I think at the end, we end up regretting.
Well, thanks so much for sharing your beautiful insight. Ladies, thank you, all three of you, for sharing your hearts and for sharing about the way that God is working in your life. I really appreciate each of you and the witness that you could bring. And I wish that we could keep talking, because there's so much that we as women need to hear: the message of truth, the message of hope, and the message that God is always looking out for us. He is a good God. He is a generous God, and He loves us. And all we have to do is respond to that call with love as well. Well, unfortunately, we have come to the end of our time today, but I know that this isn't the last that we will see or hear from each other. And that's all that we have for you today. Thank you for joining us. We hope to see you again next week, right here on The Catholic Sphere.